I'm Frank Vaughn. It's November 19th, 2024, and let's talk today about this war that all of your political leaders seem to want to risk your life and civilization itself for. That is the war in Ukraine, where the U.S. has green-lighted long-range strikes into Russia at a time when Russian nuclear policy has changed to allow for the use of nuclear weapons in the event that the United States did exactly what it's doing now. Let's talk about the state of the war among the Ukrainian people. In 2024, barely a third of the Ukrainian people want the war to continue. The popular will has moved against the war in Ukraine because people are sick of dying. The only thing Western leadership is doing by encouraging the use of these missiles and by encouraging the continuation of this war is prolonging the fruitless and pointless death of the Ukrainian people and the Russians who are fighting them. Now let's have a little reminder about where we are when they talk about democracy and they talk about sovereignty and they talk about the Ukrainian right to independence. Nationalism is banned everywhere else in the West. Every time it seems to get popular, all the response is to censor it, to ban it, to destroy it, to demean it. But when it comes to Ukraine, we're supposed to embrace nationalism and their national identity. And why is that? Because it's a useful money laundering operation for Western leadership, and they're willing to risk your life and the lives of your children to continue this war that nobody wants. They talk about defending democracy. Who suspended elections? Which president is in office long past their term? Zelensky, who held an election and won it during the war? The Russian leader, Vladimir Putin, who is still in office by elected mandate. They talk about democracy. What country deploys in the West more censorship? And why am I calling Ukraine the West? You could say it's not the West. It's part of Western civilization. But the fact of the matter is, NATO is treating Ukraine like it's a de facto member of the alliance when it absolutely has nothing to do with NATO. It is not a member of the alliance. We have no obligation to protect them. But you know what we did do? We overthrew, with CIA and Western intelligence support, we overthrew the democratically elected government. And then when the elections after the overthrow didn't go the way we wanted them to, they canceled the elections, had new fake fraudulent elections, which installed the current regime. From start to finish, everything about the conduct of Ukraine in this war and the conduct of the West puts the finger of blame directly on us, not the Russians, who did everything they could to avoid this war from 2014 forward. Remember well the names of every single person who has sat in their armchairs here in the West, encouraging this war, funneling more money into them, promoting a useless war, promoting the useless megadeath of an entire generation of Ukrainian youth, and leaving an already demographically weakened populace without an entire generation of men to work the fields. Remember the millions of people in Africa at risk of starving to death because the crops that Ukraine grows that they rely on for their food cannot arrive. All because Western leadership doesn't want to sit down and address legitimate Russian concerns. It's not just about spheres of interest. It's not this whole narrative that it's right and wrong, that everything Ukraine does is good and everything Russia does is evil, is the complete and total wrong litmus for judging this conflict. There are interest groups competing. We ignore the fact that the Ukrainian government out of Kiev was more than content to shell and kill and maim and murder Eastern Ukrainians en masse for years. While the Russians protested and nobody listened, everything the West did, the Minsk Accords, all we do is break our word when it comes to this conflict. The Russians were left with no choice but to invade. And so they did. And here we are, standing on the precipice of nuclear annihilation, Western civilization's fall. You, millions of people, will bear the burden for your politicians' will. These cowards who hide behind their desks and sign papers and make all the virtues possibly imaginable. And they're signaling their top priority, whether it's Justin Trudeau, whether it's Pierre Poilievre, one of the weakest areas of his policy is he will not come out against the Ukraine war. Trump won on a message of peace. He won the popular vote. He won the House. He won the Senate. He's won everything. Majority of the state legislatures, majority of the governorships, on a message of peace. If there was ever a time for a Canadian politician to step into the gap, to step into the vacuum, and declare that they are peace candidates, now is the time. Where's Pierre? He's going to be the next prime minister. He could actually differentiate himself on this issue. He could stand up for the innocent lives that are being thrown away uselessly every day. Ukraine cannot win this war. And whether you like it or not, there's a lot of guys who've clearly read their Second World War history, and they think the world operates the same way. They like to skip the entire Cold War, the reality of nuclear weaponry, the reality of mutually assured destruction. These concepts have kept the world in relative, I say relative, peace for generations. They only work when there's actually a point at which mutually assured destruction becomes policy. We're at that point. This isn't the old world of conventional armies. This is a world where nations who possess hundreds and thousands of nuclear warheads and the capability of delivering those warheads anywhere in the world have to be reckoned with and lived with. The Western hegemonic moment is gone. We now have to learn how to live together on this planet, or we will die together. And the next world war will be fought with sticks and stones. Everybody has signaled, the Ukrainian people, a third of which only want to continue the war, the other two-thirds want to stop. The Russians have said they want to sit down. Zelensky said he wants to sit down. Trump has said peace is his number one priority. And so what does Biden, and more accurately, the people behind Biden and his handlers do, they approve hitting deep in Russia with the very missile systems that Russia has said utilization of would constitute a declaration of direct war on Russia. This is where we are. It is November 19th. We are more than a month and a half out from Inauguration Day. And they want to burn the world. And there are Muppets and idiots online who would applaud this, or worse yet, the people who have encouraged the war up to this point will sit on their hands in silence, and instead of condemning this, they'll just talk about other things. It's absolutely disgusting. It's beyond worrisome. Do you understand what happens if tactical nuclear weapons are deployed in Ukraine? How many blows can Russia take? Their restraint is the only reason any of us are still here talking about it. How much more can they take? The West, we're not the good guys. We've never been the good guys in this conflict. We have been interfering in internal Ukrainian politics and defying the will of the people for a decade now. And we sit here and we pretend we have the moral high ground. We don't have the moral high ground. When was the last time Russia traveled 2,000 or 3,000 miles from their border to take out a national government? Where was the last Russian Libya? That's what NATO did. Do you remember the Obama administration and how they lit the entire Middle East on fire? How ISIS was created out of nothing? How Iraq, the Iraqi regime was taken out and they had nothing to do with 9/11? That's us! The empire hasn't been on the good side in decades, if we ever even were. I don't want my kids to lose their ability to have a civilization. I don't want them to die in some stupid war that needs to be ended. The Russian casus belli is real. Their interests are real. They must be respected or the world doesn't exist. We stand on the cusp of greatness, folks. This is the contrast. This is the tragic story of human history. We have visionaries coming into public office in the United States. We have people who might actually be able to fix the national debt crisis, people who want to put the bankers back in their place, who want to reduce those interest payments, who want to take power away from the bureaucracy and give it back to the people. We got visionaries who want to put, not just put men and women on the moon and on Mars, they want to put them there so they can live there, to create a multi-planetary civilization, to create a new age of expansion, to unleash the power of human potential, to build civilization through the next century. And the forces of destruction, all of which rallied around Kamala Harris and rally around Biden, are desperate to destroy everything. And there are apologists for it. Common people and small commentators who are afraid to speak out about this because they were so pro-war in 2022 and 2023, they can't dare admit they made a huge mistake and blunder, that their knowledge was either incomplete or they were just woefully ignorant of the facts. Western interventionism, Western involvement, the intelligence agencies, the combined might of NATO, has been meddling in internal Ukrainian politics for a decade. This is on us more than Russia. That's just the truth, the absolute truth. And now here we sit, long-range strikes taking place in Russia, waiting for a president who might actually bring peace with these leaders, these so-called champions of democracy who are supporting a man and his regime, which was illegally installed, which has suspended elections, which rounds up young people at the point of a gun. These thugs, a dozen of them at a time, rounding up these poor kids, giving them poor training, and then sending them to the front line to die. You support that if you won't speak out against it. You who support the Ukrainian war, support the megadeth of their sons and daughters and civilians. Why is a call for peace so radical? It's a quagmire. It's a stalemate. It's a checkmate. Russia will win the war if it goes on long enough, and these missiles won't change that. F-16s won't change that. The hypocrisy of talking about these North Korean troops that are pushing Ukrainian forces out of Russia around the Kursk region. We've had mercenaries fighting in Ukraine since before the war started, folks. It's another matter of historical record. But the Russians aren't allowed to use North Korean volunteers. They're not allowed to use North Korean troops to push troops off their own territory. Why is it? Why is it we get to do whatever we want, but the Russians don't get to respond? They don't get to do anything. Do you realize how absurd and hypocritical it is now to look at the Russians and say they're the evil empire? We've got them completely surrounded. The combined might of NATO is working through the youth of Ukraine to fight Russia, to avoid peace at every step. When the war began, it was almost over. But the West stepped in and torpedoed peace efforts. It's the West who doesn't want peace. They're trying to reckon with Russia like this is somehow the world of World War II. We can't just will the Putin regime away. They're a fact of reality. They enjoy popular support. Is it just because our intelligence agencies lack the capability of undermining them, so now they just have to go to a hot direct war to try and preserve themselves? Is this an attempt to escape, purely an attempt to escape accountability for the money laundering, for the influence peddling, for the human trafficking, for all of the things that have gone on? Are these people so afraid of justice that they're willing to kill you and they're willing to kill me in order to avoid justice? It certainly looks to me like the Russians are preparing for nuclear war. Who can blame them? We're again asking Russia to just keep taking punches in the head without throwing one back. January 6th just feels like an eternity away. January 5th, rather. There isn't much that you can do in the face of nuclear conflict. Once the bombs start going off, what do you get to do? Your money ain't going to matter. Your crypto's not going to matter. Your gold and silver's probably not going to matter either. You're going to want seeds. A lot of good they're going to do you in Canada, because in a nuclear winter, nothing's going to grow. You're going to starve to death alone in the dark as the lights go out and they don't come along. They don't come back on in the lifetime of anybody who's alive. Once the missiles start flying, civilization resets. And even the most well-laid plans of the richest and wealthiest people on the planet will more than likely fail in the majority. I don't care how big your bunker is. I don't care how big your supplies are. The next guy with a gun or a machete is just going to come along and take it. It becomes the law of the jungle, except the jungle will be frozen over because no sunlight's going to be able to come through the atmosphere. It's just crazy. We got to learn to live with each other. I want civilization to move on to the next great thing. I was sitting this morning watching the snowfall, and we were eating breakfast around the breakfast table. And I was telling my son for the first time that people have gone to the moon. And in our lifetime, both of our lifetimes, people might live there. And we'll go to Mars and we'll do these great things. And I saw his face just light up. He thought that was the coolest thing in the world. It's that hope. It's that relationship with the future. It's a dedication of the present in pursuit of tomorrow. It's the pro-life agenda. That's what I want. The cult of death has no room for anybody else. And they'll destroy the world to cling to power. So if there was ever a time to protest, if there was ever a time to write your MPs, if there was ever a time to do anything whatsoever, now's that time. Because from one minute to the next, it's all down to what Russia does. And it's going to be really hard to judge them harshly, considering what we've done. When they respond, the very people, the Andrew Cohns of the world, the Justin Trudeaus of the world, the Jagmeet Singhs who've done nothing, they sit behind their desks and they tweet. They'll condemn Russia for whatever they do, even though they're the ones that egg them on. They're like bullies who keep poking the bear. And then when the bear swipes back, they act like victims. Just remember, as we move forward through time, all those people who pushed this war, and hold them accountable. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.